pumping and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, divining rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back a couple minutes ahead of hour three on this Thursday, and of course, missed yesterday, so getting Dick and getting Sid on, important for all kinds of purposes. And we say good morning to Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. First off, I just want to also tell you again, sorry I am about the death of your father, and you know, as a father myself, I'll tell you, I've always appreciated how you've talked about him and your admiration and love for him. And as a father, that's what you know, you hope your son will, or sons will, feel that way about you. And you know, he was a lucky man, and so were you.
Oh, thanks so much, Sid. It's really, it's very kind. I really appreciate it. It's going to be, you know, the weird thing about it is, you know, he's going to be, would have been 93 next week, and you think to yourself, you know, that should be enough. That you should be satisfied with that, and at the same time, you just, you know, and even in these late stages, when you know, when he was, you know, he was suffering from dementia. But yet the weirdest thing about it, with all the situation that as it was happening, whenever I was there, I never had an issue in terms of recognition and conversing with me. And you know, I kept being told, oh, you know, he's slipping and this. And when I would see him, he'd light right up and he'd ask all the questions that as if he was 100%. So I
wow.
Not that I'm incredulous about what was going on, but and maybe he just rallied, you know, seeing me. I don't know, but
that's a great little anecdote, you know. That particular photo, there's one particular photo that you posted that really struck me. It was you and Tina with your dad, and she was next to him. And, man, he was just, all three of you were just glowing in that photo. And it was really fantastic to see.
Well, and Tina, you know, and here's something that it's one of the reasons I had the bit of the soliloquy to start the show, but I'll pass along something. Tina was prescient about 5-6 years ago. She said, we have to get your father up here, and I want to take pictures. I want pictures of you and him and Jamie and you know, me, you and him, and I'm going to have Zachary and Spencer come, and I want to get family photos with him. And she reached out to Skip Dickstein, and Skip gave us the instructions. He said, have everybody wear a shade of blue, you know, blue Oxford-type shirt. And he composed, he picked where we, you know, where he wanted the lighting. And he did all these different combinations of the families. And my brother and husband came, Diego, we put everybody together in all different groupings, and it was so smart of Tina to do that. And so there's a recommendation for people: if you think of it, act. If you say, "Gosh, I'd like to do that," don't hesitate. Make arrangements. Call Skip Dickstein. yeah. If you're in this area.
Yeah, they were wonderful photos. You know? Yeah.
Thank you. Now, that I'm going to be grateful forever to Tina for doing that. And it was very, very smart. She said it was something that, you know, she wished, you know, she didn't have of her. She doesn't have. She's got one picture that really of her and her siblings and her parents that. So it's a great idea at whatever age your mother, father, grandfather, and grandmother, aunt, whatever it is.
That's great.
But thank you, Sid. I appreciate it. Sid, a couple of things. Before we talk Belmont, sale is 2/3 of the way through at Ocala, and it's funny. The June sale is a bit of a safety net. I mean, there's anybody who got shut out through Timonium, you got a chance to pick something up, and it's at the time of the year where not everybody can go back to Ocala, and so, you know, the prices are a little bit more reasonable, and there's been some very nice purchases at the June sale the last several years, and you can see the prices. It feels like everybody's going to get a two-year-old of their own.
Yeah, you know, the prices were pretty damn good, Steve. I mean, the average was very close to last year's. I think last year was a record sale so far. And what was really heartening was the median was up quite a bit versus last year, at least, you know, with so far through the sale, which is really good, because that's the part of the, you know, the market you always worry about. And so that was really nice to see. And then, of course, you know, you got Donato Lanny buying some. Obviously, he's got competition, because some of these prices were pretty good. The $750 for the Uncle Mulled Philly, and the $650 Flatter. I don't know who the Uncle Mo is going to, but the Flatter is a Zidane horse now. And I think the Uncle Mo is obviously going to Bob Baffert as well.
Well, you know, I'm going to mention, because I don't really know her personally, but I know a little bit about her. And Julie Davies raises a good horse. And I think at one time worked for Richard Kent, who everyone knows as Kazan Sales. And Julie Davies, that's a nice pop, $625,000. For Julie as the agent, and she does a great job. And in fact, there's an Army Mule today that I thought might be of interest, and then the horse worked too good. I think she's going to have another. I think she's going to have a nice sale there. But I mean, everybody's there. I mean, I see that the Greens, Len and John, are buying left and right. DJ bought a 185 Candy Ride filly. How about David and Gordo is not done buying. He bought an Empire Maker that went in 21-2, a filly, a Pennsylvania bred, notably. So there's Lane's End, probably David signed as well. 10 flat more than ready New York bred. King's Equine consigned for Spendthrift. You know, I haven't really watched this morning's the first hour here this morning, but I did see that. In fact, I saw a tweet from Brian DiDonato. Nick Hines bought one for Franklin Avenue Equine, the Run Happy Philly. So it's it's good. There's some big names. Clark Brewster, a six figure. Who else? My Racehorse has been in action, so.
And the Pinocchios have been doing really well. I mean, there was that Hit of the Bomb that was, I think, like an $8,000 yearling at, you know, six figures. There was a Run Happy that was $10,000 with another six-figure hit. So, you know, it's always good to see the demand there, because all of this just fuels the, you know, as we enter the yearling sales again. And really, there is a horse shortage. So, you know, it becomes a good seller's market.
Well, I got to mention one more name, one more buyer, because we're big fans of the one and only Stephen Skaggs, and he bought an awesome slew for $70,000 for Rich Averill. So Skaggs swinging into action. He's been he's had a busy winter. Also known as Rain Man by his friends. Congratulations to Stephen and Doug. Doug O'Neill is down there buying stuff. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Everybody's there. Holy cow. DJ, boy, does DJ bought, they're buying $50,000 constitutions. Wow. All right. Well, we're going to try for one today. We're taking one swing, Sid, right near the end end of the show. We'll see. We'll see how nice. We've tried for maybe, I guess we've tried, we tried in March, we tried in April, and this is our last shot to have a runner as a 2-year-old. And then we've got, hopefully the pipeline starts to prime the pump with the babies. We'll have the Motown baby will be a 2-year-old next year. And
That's going to be exciting, yeah?
Yeah, well, we may, if they pick him for, if Saratoga, if Fasig picks him for the New York sale, we'll probably put him in the New York sale and see how that goes, but we gotta I gotta hold it together one more year, Sid. Right? Let's dive in. And this has been an interesting 4 weeks, obviously, and we arrive at this Belmont, you know, with a lot of questions, but there's certainly some pedigrees in this race, Sid, that you know, that have got the stamp of the test of the champion on them?
I mean, it's, you know, really, you can just throw a dart and you wouldn't be surprised if any of these horses won. To be honest, I heard Dick Powell, you know, like Nest, and I mean, look at her pedigree. I mean, it's really made for a mile and a half, to be honest. Who knows, you know? It all depends, on how this race unravels. And, you know, we talked last week about the pace scenario, and I'm still not, I'm still wondering whether the Derby winner might not be more prominent early on. Because, he's a horse that likes, apparently, to really gallop free. That workout 59, for example, last week, I was reading about him, and apparently this is a horse that really does like to open gallop, and he's not a horse that really likes to be held back. If they do go on with him, it really would be a surprise that most people wouldn't be expecting. You know, and he's another one, obviously, that's got the pedigree to stay quite easily as well. It's really a tough race. You know, our client, Donegal, Jerry Crawford, has Mo Donegal, and for, again, selfish reasons, we're going to be rooting for him. But I would, like I said, I really wouldn't be surprised if any of these ended up winning the race.
Maybe we're better off going in the opposite direction than to a degree, Sid. I mean, who? Golden Glider, for instance, who I obviously trust Mark Cassie's judgment. He has taken this horse on the same path that he took Sir Winston, and he identified him as a Belmont candidate. But when then by Ghost Zapper, but when you think Orientate Mare, you think kind of middle distance at best. What do you make of Golden Glider's presence in here?
You hit it right on the nail. He did the same thing with Sir Winston, who, by the way, was a horse that we planned the mating for Tracy Farmer. Tracy tried
That's
to
right.
sell Sir Winston as a yearling, couldn't get any bids on him, basically, and kept him. And, the horse, again with Cassie, did surprisingly want. He was kind of a consolation for us. We were thrilled because it was the same year that our mating of Maximum Security got DQ'd in the Derby. And, Sir Winston kind of brought us back into it. But to your point, I really think the Derby, to tell you the truth, is a tougher race for stamina than the Belmont is. And so I don't think you need, you don't need as stout a pedigree if things work out for you. I mean, Bull Forbes won the Belmont leading throughout. But it was it was more impressive when he won the Derby, because that really was a tougher test for a horse that might not actually stay. So I think you can actually have even though it's a mile and a half, I think you can actually get away with a pedigree here that's, really not what a obvious reading might say is a mile and a half pedigree, because of the way pace and easier fractions early make this race much more suitable for horses vis-a-vis Derby for stamina. In the Derby, that blistering quarter and half really set it up for a stamina horse. Here, you know, you can get away with a softer pace, with a pedigree that's not as stout. And, you know, in some ways that might actually work against some of the stouter pedigrees in here. Nest, the Derby winner, Mo Donegal. But, you know, obviously, We the People, he's going to, you know, he's the controlling speed in this race. And really, it's about what you think is going to happen here. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that Rich Strike, the Derby winner, is actually going to be forwardly placed in this race and just try to gallop hard. I know it sounds bizarre, but after that work the other day and kind of researching and reading about this colt and finding out that he actually wants to do that, you go back and, you know, you just look at that big maiden victory of his.
Yep.
You know, I just think that, you know, he could be a real surprise in how he is actually handled in this race.
Yeah, we discussed it last Wednesday, and I've referenced it, the conversation, a handful of times since that. If you look at workouts and understand the purpose, you know, the purposefulness of the horsemen and what they're looking to achieve, it was obvious that the 59-3, the one, in fact, that the video that I had put up of Rich Strike the weekend before Derby, that was a slow early, fast late. And he was looking right for him to run late. Then when you watch the 59 flat with the gigantic gallop out all the way through the back half of the backside, I mean, essentially that was a mile work.
Yeah.
He was in stride in the first eighth. It wasn't like he came, you know, just kind of meandering into the opening quarter. He was in full flight immediately, and he sustained that for, you know, well over a mile, and that's a very different look. And in fact, Byron King in the Blood Horse, I happened to see last night as I was trying to catch up on everything I had missed Tuesday and Wednesday. Byron had a piece basically talking to Eric about his training, and he has let the horse dictate the training. He has not. And he said that that's the way he's approached this horse from early on, and that if the if they get the sense that the horse wants to do a little something, they let him do it. And that's a positive. I mean, you're basically giving your horse headspace, and he'll respond in kind, you know, to the rider. And I agree, Sid. I think. You know, not that I'm rooting against anybody, but I got to say, I am rooting for him. I think it would be actually very good for the game, in fact, if he were to, I mean, certainly to run well, but if he wins, if nothing else, it'll create one of the great historical what-ifs that we've had. I mean, we know what happened to Thunder Gulch when he got beaten the Preakness by his stablemate,
yeah,
Timber Country. This will be an all-timer.
Yeah. It really would. And, you know, when you think about it, prior to the Derby, he was really running on all weather, right? And so his two big wins really are on dirt. And he just gives me the feel that he's still got a lot more in the tank.
That's what Rick Dawson and Eric Reed have said. That's exactly the word they've used, that they didn't think that they've gotten to the bottom of him. And so it would be good. It would be good for the second half of the season if we consider Saturday the end of the first half of the 3-year-old season. It would set up a real. Although I take that back. Not that it wouldn't set up nicely, but if he wins the Belmont, boy, things would have to really go. You know, would have to either go. I suppose early voting would have to sweep. I don't know, Travers and Pennsylvania Derby, right? To knock him off, maybe as you win the Derby and the Belmont, you'll be hard pressed not to be 3-year-old champion.
Yeah, I mean, it would be tough not to, yeah.
I do want to ask about one stallion, though, in here. Obviously, you know, what this means for Keene Ice. The stallion, Sid, that when I was looking at the pedigree numbers and trying to, you know, see if, you know, what else I could make of this whole group. I stopped at Creative Minister, and am I wrong in saying that Creative Cause is not getting enough credit as a value sire, and is maybe a classic winner away from, you know, raising? Why is his profile not higher? He's got 39 stake winners. He seems to win with all different kinds of horses. I mean, wouldn't he be the biggest beneficiary? I mean, Exaggerator, it would do wonders for him too, I suppose. But it feels like Creative Cause would really be elevated by a win like this.
Yeah, he would, and you know, again, that horse could win it too. You know, Creative Cause is a very good stallion. Again, what happens with these proven horses like he is that until they really start getting marquee horses, if and when they start getting marquee horses, then, you know, he's well into the early part of his stud career at this point. You need a turnaround, say, like Munnings, for example. Munnings, sire of Jack Christopher. You know, Munnings just was kind of in a pattern, and then just started getting better and better and better. It's rare for that to happen. It happened with Curlin after, you know, Curlin did get a first crop classic winner, but, you know, he started to get better actually as soon as John Segura bought him or bought into him. But what happens, Steve, is that stallions kind of have a ceiling once they're established, and so it takes, you know, it's rare for a horse, and Munnings is a great example of how it can happen, but it's rare for a horse that's sort of established himself as, you know, a good stallion to suddenly become an elite stallion. And so that's not to say Creative Cause can't. He's done extremely well. But so far, he's kind of, and you hit it really well, he's an undervalued stallion, and he's a great, you know, but he's not going to be getting those elite type of mares until, you know, you can turn it up with 1, 2, 3 really outstanding horses like Munnings did. And then things start to turn for you, you know. There's no question that if you're looking for a really good, proven stallion, Creative Cause is one of those horses.
And of course, you know, one of the things that came up earlier that it is pretty amazing. You got a field of 8. You've got 4 of the horses are helmed by horsemen that have won this race, you know, with Cassie McPeak and the 2 Pletchers.
Yeah.
So they know, guys, you know. They know what
and of course, you know, Fletcher knows. Fletcher's won this race with the filly, too. So,
that's right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that filly happened to be the sire of
That's right. Of Nest. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And one of the that's one of the famous moments in Belmont history. The the smashing by Todd of his binoculars when she went right when she went to her nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. he thought that was it. She was that just shows yeah. you got a long time to recover because you know there are horses that. It's certainly not a race that you worry that much about the post position, but positional speed is always important no matter the length of the race. And you think, you know what? You think back to War Emblem. I mean, War Emblem was a horse that when he stumbled at the break and got off poorly in his Belmont in 2002, the race was over. I mean, he was it was just he was immediately compromised. I mean, and she was able to. You know, to pull it together and win. That was just a tremendous, what a triple crown that was. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was.
It was a great season, actually. You go all the way to the end, you know, with Hard Spun and with Street Sense becoming a, you know, a Derby Travers winner. And it's just the greatest. And then Hard Spun beats Street Sense in the Kentucky Cup. And that was just such a great season.
Yeah, it really was.
Wow. I suppose, Sid, I should ask you about the flight line situation with Speaker's Corner. Any thought there about that pair facing off?
Well, I mean, you know, it's really difficult. I don't care how great a horse you are, it's so difficult to come into this level of competition off a 6 month break, just off works. And you're also coming into a race, a track that he's never run over before. And, you know, as absolutely amazing as his races have been, winning off by double digits with insane speed figures. You know, the trainer isn't particularly successful outside of California. The horse is running on a track that he's not used to, and you know, I'm willing to you know not use him. And try some others.
Interesting.
To be honest, yeah.
Well, listen, that's the beauty of this, and it frankly it flies in the face of you know this meme that you know that every one of these fields that doesn't measure up in quantity somehow you know guarantees the favorites. A win, and I would have thought that a 40-1 and an 80-1 last weekend might have, you know, might still be fresh enough in people's minds. No.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know how people's. You know, that's that was a fun. I had a lot of fun with that on Monday. You know, and also on that topic, for those that, because I didn't get a chance to follow up with the usual, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday shows, it certainly should have been noted that, you know, Todd took two of his Triple Crown horses and was repurposing them and sort of reorienting them, Sid, for the rest of the year. And Emmanuel certainly... in the Pennine Ridge, I mean, the public latched onto him, the More Than Ready colt. The horse that did not pass muster trying the same thing was Major General. They're going to have to go back to the drawing board with him.
Yeah.
But Emmanuel looks like he's got a real, you know, a real future on turf.
Yeah, and that's, you know, he's really bred for it, too.
Exactly.
So, you know, you try these horses because you only have one classic season. I mean, it's the same thing that happened with Hard Spun you were talking about, you know. Ran a great second in the Derby, but really, leggy son of Danzig, you know, looked the part to go in the Derby and stuff, but ultimately found his métier in sprints, right? And when he came, when he cut back and he won that, what was it, the, was it the Woody Stevens or the...
It was the King's Bishop.
The King's Bishop, right, yeah. Yeah.
And what, you know what was amazing about that King's Bishop win was that, and I'm sure you were hip to this at the time, the deal that Porter had made, correct, for Hard Spun included a very important grade one bonus that if he could, that if Hard Spun could register a grade one win before the stud deal, and Larry Jones delivered.
Right. And really, you know, winning a sprint like that with one of the last sons of Danzig, you know, the last two sons of Danzig really at stud were Hard Spun and Warfront, both sprinters, really. I mean, Hard Spun was more than a sprinter, but, you know, getting that sprint carries a lot of weight when you go to stud.
Exactly. Exactly. And he, and boy, if those three principles, if those three principles haven't proven out in the shed, Street Sense, Hard Spun, and Curlin, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, you don't see that often, do you? And that's,
well,
I've made
the point over the years that the best comparison to me is the class of 57. Is, you know,
right.
Bold Ruler and Gallant
Bold Ruler,
Band,
Round
and,
Table.
Yeah.
Round Table. Yeah.
Yeah. Clem and Barbizon and well, and of course the poor ill-fated General Duke, who might have been the best of all of them.
Right.
Well, Sid, I appreciate it. So a final official Belmont selection. The Philly.
You know, I'm going to have to officially go with Mo Donegal.
Ooh,
but
that's
please that, that, take that. Take that with a grain of salt because of the moment. But
right.
The horse that I am going to put out there is a repurposed Derby winner, just doing something totally unexpected and galloping in the, you know, early, quick.
I would applaud it, and I endorse that approach. So I like it. Sid, thanks so much. I appreciate it, and we'll do some recapping next week. And while we're taking in Royal Ascot, usually there's a little week you know, time between the two, but not this year. So we'll have a busy week.
Quite a few Americans are going over too. Yeah,
we'll have fun.
Okay,
it's always a fun week. Thanks.
Talk to you next week. All right, see ya.
You got it. Sid Fernando, everybody. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. Work Thoroughbred Consultants, of course, and 510-490-1111. Put it in your phone. It's Sid and Roger Lyons and the team at Work. Plenty of people now. Now you probably evaluated your babies, right? We got about a half hour. Going to get Nick Tamaro in as well. And I did reach out. I looking for help from Joe Longo. And Joe at Naira, of course. We'll see if Joe can join us for a minute or two before Nick Tamaro comes in. And the betting menu is rife with two-day bets. And if you haven't looked ahead yet, you got, you know, tomorrow, you're going to have to be prepared, all right? Because you got the, you know, the usual assortment that we've come to really enjoy. There's the essentially the New York double, which is the New York on Friday, the newly christened Grade One New York on Friday, and the Hillendale Met. So the New York on Friday and the Met on Saturday. You've got the Gold Cup on Friday and the Belmont. So the two quote unquote marathon distances, and the Gold Cup, I haven't even mentioned yet. The Gold Cup drew a field of eight. 5-2 favorite Aban, speaking of Todd Pletcher and marathon distances, 2 miles on the turf on Friday with the Belmont. So the Gold Cup Belmont double. You got the Philly and Mare double, which is the Intercontinental. And not only was she one of my favorite horses, but it's always a fabulous race. The Phillies and Mares go 6 furlongs. And the boys, of course, in the Jiper, not that it's, you know, exclusive to boys, but the Philly and Mare 6 furlong turf sprint Intercontinental closes the card tomorrow. 13 horse field. So those that are clamoring for full fields, there you go. The Intercontinental is hooking up with the FIPS. So you've got to distill those 13 into the very well matched 5 in the Ogden Phipps. There's the sprint double, and this goes dirt to turf because the True North, where obviously, you know, Jackie's Warrior is you know, huge, overwhelming favorite on Friday. But, you know, if you have an alternate idea, but you still have to go to the Jiper, and there's the 11 horse field, or 13, excuse me. So you got, you know, I'm sure some people, if you're so convinced that the 2-5 favorite can't lose, okay. So bet $100 straight double. Jackie's Warrior and you know, whoever. True Velour for Grand Motion, who I don't, who's not without chance. Then you've got, finally, a double within Saturday, which is the Met and the Belmont. All right. The 2-day bigger multi-race wagers. 2-day pick six with the True North and the New York on Friday. So, you know, here again, you've got Jackie's Warrior, the New York 7-horse field, and obviously Chad dominates the entries with Rogier and Virginia Joy and Bleecker Street and Flighty Lady. But Brendan Walsh shows up with Family Way. She's 8-1. Core values for Vicky Oliver, who's pretty clever. And Tom Albertrani involved with Lovely Lucky. Lovely Lucky. That was the 20-1 LPB. So that's the New York. Those two races on Friday, part of the 2-day pick six, and the 4 races on Saturday, the Woody Stevens, the Jiper, the Manhattan, and the Belmont. All right, which is not going to be an easy, I mean, I guess Woody, you know, Christopher, Jack Christopher is everybody's lone A. You know, what you do after that is up to you. But the Jiper, Manhattan, and even the Belmont, to some extent, you know, you got to figure it all out as a pick six opportunity. And then the 2-day pick four, which is the Intercontinental and the New York and the Manhattan and the Belmont. Okay? So that's the 2-day pick four. And finally, the all-turf grade one high-denomination play, the Just a Game, the Jiper, and the Manhattan, the three grade one turf plays. All right? And that would start at the Just a Game is fairly early, right? It's the fourth. Yeah, that you got to be ready for that at 108. Joe, I just heard back from Joe Longo. Joe is tied up in a meeting, and so he'll join us tomorrow. All right, so we'll get a chance to go over these again tomorrow with Joe, and the triple the turf this turf pick three is a $3 increment. Okay. So there you go. You're set. All right. Case, why don't you reach for Nick? And we should have a perfect 20 minutes with Nick Tamaro to close out. I'll put that whole list up as well at Derby Trail, and I'll tweet that out too. There's a couple of graphics that have it all. So there's That's why you know, Rich and I started that conversation on about the opportunities. There's opportunity here, and I'm going to let Nick take a couple of minutes. You know, because Nick is somebody that we discuss leveraging opinions and heavying up your increment and. I mean, isn't this your opportunity to experiment with that? You know, on Derby Trail, on the wagering threads, which we have, daily, one of the bets that has really been popularized are heavy doubles, $20 doubles, $100 doubles. So there's Nick Tamaro now. Nick, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you? And before I say anything, let me express my condolences for your father's passing.
I appreciate it, Nick. And, of course, you had it's funny. Until exchanging a lot of these notes, it hadn't really occurred to me that in a very short period of time, there's been a number of us that have lost our fathers, and it kind of came home to roost. I got the nicest note from Nacho Correas, whose father passed away 2 weeks ago, and of course, a major horseman as well, and the same age as my father. So we've all kind of grappled with it, and what can you say? It's part of life, and we're thankful for all the time we had with them.
No question about it. In fact, part of the reason why I've been in New York all week is we took my father to his final resting spot yesterday in Brooklyn, so he's together with my grandparents. And, yeah, it's life is about living, of course, and as much in death as you can celebrate, you have to do that. For all the parts of mourning there are, there's got to be just as much celebration because, luckily, our fathers lived good, full lives, and a friend of mine told me shortly after my dad passed, he said, what my father told me shortly before he died was, get ready because you're about to be first string. So that's what we all are now. And though you lack that that person that you can rely on, it's time to have gotten upgraded a little bit, so to speak.
Somebody, an old friend sent me a similar that it didn't really, until you said that, it didn't, I didn't make the same connection, but now I understand what they meant. So, Well, Nick, we're gonna lean on you for fatherly advice, fatherly horse playing advice, and you've been wise beyond your years for a long time on that front. What do you suggest those that somehow have been convinced that this is not a good card for betting opportunities, or that the 2 days aren't good enough to satisfy the demands of such discerning players? What do you suggest they do? How do they approach this card, these two cards?
You know, one of the things that you and I speak about pretty frequently when it comes to betting, whether it's a big card or just a regular Saturday, is that you do what's in your comfort zone, but in a situation like this, you probably want to take the opinions that you have the most confidence in, and you're just going to play them for a little bit more, obviously. That seems very basic, very obvious. And so I think that you want to understand that 3-1 pays 3-1 regardless of the day. If you're somebody who likes to value shop and bet horses in the 8-12-1 range, then you probably want to concentrate on the races where those types of winners are a little bit likelier, a race like the Jaipur, the Manhattan, even the Belmont Stakes, depending on who you like. But otherwise, in the Met, one of the things you probably want to focus on is forming an opinion on either side of it and bet some doubles from a horse, one of the two main ones in the Met, into the Manhattan, or from the Jaipur before it. And you want to do things like play pick fives for $2 and $3 base bets instead of 50 cents, because you can maximize your opinion a little bit. But one thing I would caution everybody with is that in some of the larger serial wagers, understand that beating one of these favorites is going to have a massive impact, because a lot of people who generally aren't accustomed to are going to be betting multi-race plays at a much higher denomination dollar value than before, and it's going to wipe more of their money out of the pool when one of them gets upset if they do. So, for example, if you have a negative opinion on a horse like Echo Zulu, which I don't see why it would be considered by anybody to be hard to believe that she could be beaten by a horse like Matarea, you're probably going to get better than 8-5 on Matarea in the multi, because Echo Zulu is going to be such an enormous favorite. So those are the things you want to keep in mind and you want to apply properly. Obviously, just like any other day, you want to bet your opinion and you want to do it with a great amount of fervor, but you probably want to adjust your betting accordingly to accommodate the slightly smaller field.
Do you go to the smaller fields first and identify your approach, or do you go to the bigger fields, to the Manhattan and the Jaipur, and even technically the FIPS? Because, I'm sorry, is anybody going to be surprised? I mean, the only horse that would surprise me, quote-unquote, is Bonnie South. And she is more likely to be second, because that's what she does, than win, but I won't be dumbfounded if she wins. I mean, that's a race that I can't believe anybody would complain about those five.
No, and quite honestly, did you need a 20-1 shot to get in the way early, or a couple of them to make it a field of seven? Not really. Those are the five best female horses over 3 years old in the country. So line them up and see who's best. And you know, one of the things that I feel like I've said to people so far this week is that, in all likelihood, even Latruska, save the Breeders' Cup, the best price you're going to get on her all year is in this race. That's going to be the case for any of the other winners as well. If Clarier wins this race 7-2, there's a 0% chance she's 7-2 again this year prior to the Breeders' Cup. And look, she may only run once. She may only run twice. But there's value to be had if you believe in them. So I picked Clarier, and I think she benefits tremendously from the one-turn configuration. And I think she's got a real shot at turning the tables on some of these horses. And I know that at 3-1 or 7-2, she's a good bet, and a horse that I think in some of the multi-race plays, if you can use her to juice them up a little bit, you'll have a nice return.
So let's focus on that question. And I you know, ostensibly we were doing a Thursday for Friday, but of course Friday you got to be prepared for the 2 day wagers. So some of this is a hybrid discussion, because you know what I did was I sort of graded the races, and so from a horse quantity standpoint and competitiveness standpoint. Obviously, the Manhattan and the Jaipur and even the FIPS are A's. The Brooklyn, frankly, is a B+, and the Belmont's probably a B+. So okay, what exactly is anybody's complaint? Then you got races like Just a Game, that I don't think I prefer the second choice to the favorite, for instance. I mean, I can't believe that days after you had an 80-1 beat a 1-2 at Penn, that you know, we've got to kind of get people refocused and understand that they put them in the gate for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is that, you know, one of the, I mean, and this is a nebulous conversation that could go on endlessly, but who exactly are the good horses that aren't participating on this card? So, you know, we have a horse shortage, period. We have a good horse shortage as well. So the fact that this many good ones are running is good enough for me. And yeah, I think it's within your whatever your comfort zone is in terms of races to play. I mean, I think whoever you are, you're going to be excited about the Jiper. The Jiper is a really fascinating race, and I you know, reminded myself last night looking at it that I tweeted, of course, after Arrest Me Red won the Twin Fires Turf Sprint on Oaks Day, that it seems like every time there's one of these, you know, super interesting big field sprinting on the turf, Wesley Ward wins it at an underlaid price. But I'm willing to take on Arrest Me Red for on just about every ticket, in large part because his two New York wins last year were very dressed up. That being said, it's a tough race to settle on anybody. And I'm going to take a chance with my old friend Gear Jockey, who is reunited with Jose Lascano. He had a little bit of early trouble in the Twin Spires Turf Sprint. Maybe I'm going a little far with this, but I think he really benefits from going six. And I think he's more of a stamina-laden turf sprinter that probably wants to go 6-7 ultimately. So I'm excited about him, and I think he's going to be a terrific price. And if you are like me and you want to bet against the Arrest Me Red, there's a lot of opportunities.
Well, and I had this, a similar feel, and Casa Creed, Gear Jockey, and then Scuttlebuzz somehow wormed his way into my thinking.
Yeah, he got a big pace set up last time. I don't know if he's going to get quite as much of a pace to run it this time. That was a weaker field. But look, he's a horse that's rapidly improving, and I think he's got a lot of room to move forward as well. So I have no big argument against him whatsoever, and this is kind of a home game for him also. So, no, there's plenty to like. I mean, it is a very competitive race. You got a horse like Gregorian Chant who, you know, made a big move last time out, largely towards the inside part of the turf course. And I think there's a pretty strong argument to be made that wider was better on the turf course at Churchill on Derby weekend. So, you know, I think you want to give yourself as many options as possible, and I strongly consider him one of the big time options.
Well, and since we included the Jiper, then let's actually, Nick, maybe give everybody the help of the Friday opinions that meld in. Because that part we've got to get to. We got about 7 or 8 minutes. Gold Cup, True North, New York, Intercontinental. That late pick four. Run through that.
Yeah, you know, I don't. I know a lot of people are trying to make a pretty strong case against Jackie's Warrior. I think Jackie's Warrior is every bit as good this year as he was last year. I don't see really much opportunity for critiquing his two races this year. I was not enamored with the race at Oak Lawn, but at the same time, you had to understand that was a very strong pace that I think worked against him. I'm actually going out of order here. Let's go in order. The Belmont Gold Cup is the eighth, the two-mile event that generally has brought over some horses from overseas that have largely dominated this race, and I think it's going to be the same kind of situation with Loft. I understand that generally German form is not looked at quite as favorably as maybe other parts of the UK or of Europe, but Loft looks like exactly the kind of horse you want to bet in America because he's getting better and he is truly a distance specialist. And while he might be facing a slightly better field than he did most recently, he's just going to gallop all day. And though his rider couldn't make the trip over, he's got a totally capable replacement in Andreas Stark who will be on board. So he's the one to beat to me, clearly. British Royalty is interesting. He got better at a mile and a half last time. He's a horse who's run his two best races at a mile and a half. So he's really kind of screaming out for extra ground as well. I also thought that Sibolian was a little interesting for Rudy Brissett, who seems like he's getting better with each passing start, and he's going to be a pretty decent price. So I kind of wanted to focus on those three. I don't think that Aban, even though he is a two-mile winner, I'm going to bank on him not being as good outside of Gulfstream. So I'm going to use Loft primarily, and the backups for me are mainly going to be British Royalty, Outbox, and Sibolian.
gets us to that, the true north, and you were making the case, yeah, about Jackie's Warrior.
Yeah, I just think he's too much for them when push comes to shove, and I really don't think Kendrick Carmouche is going to go on a suicide mission with Mr. Phil and try and push him early. Mr. Phil is also a horse you need to handle very carefully because his March and April wins at Aqueduct were both courtesy of big inside speed biases. Now, he ran very well last time out, and there's no doubt this horse has taken an enormous step forward since he got into Rob Attriss's barn, and in large part it's because Rob has put the speed back into the horse. And a lot of times it's as simple as riding them forwardly. He is a horse who early in his career had a great deal of speed. They seem to not use it a number of times, but now he's really on the muscle early. That being said, I mean, he's not fast enough to put a big scare into Jackie's Warrior, who could also just sit right outside of him and dismiss him when he was ready anyway. If there's somebody who's going to beat him at Sound Money, who might be getting better at exactly the right time, the blinkers are coming off, which has been a big deal for Chad over the last couple of years, and he might actually be able to make a living as a one-run closing sprinter. So I would use him as a backup, but of course, I mean, I'd have 5 to 10 units on Jackie's Warrior for every one on a horse like Sound Money.
The New York, where Chad seems to have him cornered, obviously, with the top three choices.
Top three choices, and it looks as if they have a partner in Flighty Lady to make sure there's enough pace for them to run at. Virginia Joy really doesn't need it. Regier and Bleecker Street do. I don't know about Bleecker Street, Steve. She's gotten very, very good. And the question becomes, could Chad really have underestimated this horse that much by running her at Monmouth, running her at Meadowlands, running her at Tampa? She had no business winning last time out at all and just exploded when she was asked by Flavian Pratt. This is a horse who I could see Irad putting right behind Regier and looking to switch out and produce the last bid. Regier's 2022 debut was very, very good in the Bogey. Horses like Our Flash Drive and High Opinion don't compare at all to what she's facing here. I think Bleecker Street may have beat better horses last time out, so I'm going to use them equally. Virginia Joy is probably a cut below when push comes to shove, but she's obviously the other one who can win. Like you said, Chad seems to have them over a barrel.
And the Intercontinental, which, like the Jiper, has got a baker's dozen in them.
Yeah, just a terrific race at 6 furlongs on the turf. And I was probably into handicapping this race for about 20 minutes before I realized it was 6 furlongs now instead of 7. And so I really liked Flower Point either way. I still like Flower Point. I think she's a very interesting cutback. Shug McGahey has a very good record cutting back on the turf, 30% with a $2.60 ROI. And I think Flower Point, winning the Forever Together, she kind of didn't do herself any favors in winning because it prompted Shug to continue to run her along. I just think she's a sprinter. I think she's a horse that wants to go shorter. And Jose Lozcano is going to be able to sit back and let things develop in front of him. You know, with that said, there are a lot of horses who can win this race. Miss J. McKay, to me, is clearly the horse to beat on the outside. 6 furlongs is exactly her trip. She figures to get a very nice setup. Caravel was an interesting horse at Churchill, and then she got bet off the board and became significantly less interesting, but still ran a credible race. I think she's a cut below those male turf sprinters, and she did get a run through on the inside, which, again, may not have exactly been the most ideal position. But I'll caution everybody, and don't be shocked if this happens. Robin Sparkles can wire this field. Robin Sparkles is very, very fast, and her race in the Politely was better than the public is going to treat it. And this is 6 on the Widener, which, while the Widener generally is a little more favorable to off-the-pace types, you can wire at 6 on the Widener, and I don't exactly see who's keeping up with her early, so I am not going to be beaten by Robin Sparkle's wire job.
How about that? All right, Nick, for those that might miss tomorrow because the day gets busy and people may be traveling as well, Manhattan and Belmont must-uses.
Must-uses in the Manhattan for me would definitely be Channelmaker, Adamo, and Gufo. So those would be the two favorites, and then my interesting horse at a price that I'm going to pick on top is Channelmaker, who I think may have just gotten a little bit better with Luis Saez and looks like a little bit more of the Channelmaker of old in his last two starts. Belmont must-uses for me are we the people and creative minister. I just think we the people. I understand this is I've heard him called a sucker bet, and I've heard all of the negatives. He is a horse who obviously had everything his own way in the Peter Pan, but he is going to get the lead in here. He's going to be dictating terms to everybody else, and that's a very favorable position to be in when you're going a mile and a half on the dirt. And I think Creative Minister gets the first run at him. So, excuse me, I think one of those two wins. And I think the interesting price, of course, is Creative Minister, likely in that 5-6 to 1 range. I'll tell you this much. early voting would have been an absolute, complete, stone-cold cinch in this race to me. I don't care if it was run at 10 miles. And Creative Minister is the only one who stayed within range of him early and still finished. And I think he just might be getting better at exactly the right rate to be a real threat in here.
Nick, and finally, I've got about we got about 40 seconds. I know there's congratulations in order for the NHC qualification, but tell everybody, you know, if people aren't crazy about the card, why not play the betting challenge? They got till 5 o'clock today to register.
Yeah, and it's a big seated cash prize pool, so you know there's a BCBC seat available. But if you're somebody who's going to be betting a little bit of money on this card, then get involved in the betting challenge. There's no reason not to. You can play on track or on Naira Bets, and you give yourself an opportunity to take home a lot of cash prize with the bankroll.
Nick, I'm going to miss sitting with you tomorrow, but we'll talk again and give everybody final thoughts for Saturday tomorrow, and congratulate Joe. You know, it was the whole usual. I was all set for our usual. Fun get together at Belmont, but I'll see you soon enough.
We'll hold it off till Saratoga again. Best wishes, Stephen. I'll talk to you soon.
Nick Tamaro, everybody. Thanks, Nick. And Tam 1215. Well, we got through that, and I'm appreciative. And thanks to Mig and Dick Powell and Sid Fernando and Nick Tamaro. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. The action in New York and Churchill, you know, a little staggered, and it'll be on TV. And haven't looked at the scratches yet. If I can fashion something together, I'll put up some plays. Otherwise, I will talk to you. Certainly have the full set of plays tomorrow and Saturday on the website. Replay, 6 o'clock to 9 tomorrow, and archive and podcast, of course, coming soon. Good luck. I'll talk to you in the morning.
On Sirius XM Radio.
Betting on. How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll
toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America, but we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorsed the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.